This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. She persisted. Those words, released in a statement by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, have become a viral sensation. That after McConnell invoked a rarely used Senate rule to shut down Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren last night. Now, if you're just catching up to this story, here's the play-by-play. Last night, the Senate continued debate on Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination for Attorney General. The Senate chamber was almost empty when Senator Warren stood to speak. She read letters from opponents of Sessions' 1986 nomination to the federal judiciary, including an excerpt from a letter from the late Senator Ted Kennedy.
He is, I believe, a disgrace to the Justice Department, and he should withdraw his nomination and resign his position. Those were the words of Senator Ted Kennedy. And I will stand with Senator Kennedy, and like he did, I will cast my vote against the nomination of Senator Sessions.
Well, then, Senator Warren went on to read a letter that was virtually unknown a mere 24 hours ago. It's from Coretta Scott King, late wife of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And then an extraordinary series of events followed. They quickly unfolded. You'll hear Senator Warren and Republican Senator Steve Daines, who was presiding.
A person who has exhibited so much hostility to the enforcement of those laws.
The senator is reminded that it is a violation of Rule 19 of the standing rules of the Senate to impute to another senator or senators any conduct or motive unworthy or becoming a senator.
Mr. President, I don't think I quite understand. I'm reading a letter from Coretta Scott King to the Judiciary Committee from 1986 that was admitted into the record. I'm simply reading what she wrote about what the nomination of Jeff Sessions to be a federal court judge meant and what it would mean in history for her.
This is a reminder, not pertinent necessarily to what you just shared. However, you stated that a sitting senator is a disgrace to the Department of Justice.
I think that may have been Senator Kennedy. Although I would be glad to repeat it in my own words.
The rule applies to imputing conduct or motive through any form or voice to a sitting senator. Form of words includes quotes, articles, or other materials.
So, quoting Senator Kennedy, calling then nominee Sessions a disgrace is a violation of Senate rules.
Well, Senator Warren was warned, as you heard, but she continued, but then was stopped again, this time by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
There's a piece from the Bedford Minuteman that really tells the story of how sexual violence impacts Massachusetts. And this is what it said. They are mothers, daughters, sisters, fathers, sons, and brothers.
Mr. President.
They are.
Mr. President.
The Majority Leader.
The Senator is impugning the motives and conduct of our colleague from Alabama as warned by the chair. Senator Warren, quote, said Senator Sessions has used the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens. I call the senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
And that was it. A highly unusual moment in the United States Senate. The Senate then took a party line vote upholding the ruling that Warren violated Rule 19, which says, as you heard, senators are not allowed to, quote, directly or indirectly impute another senator. Then Warren was ordered to sit down and is not allowed to speak during the remainder of the session's debate, which continues today in advance of a vote expected this evening. However, last night, Warren left the Senate chamber and did read the entire letter from Coretta Scott King. She did that on Facebook Live. And soon after, McConnell himself issued a statement. That one has since gone viral. He said, quote, "She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted." Senator Elizabeth Warren joins us now. Senator, welcome. And as you heard, you persisted. Why?
I persisted because it was the right thing to do. I was doing my job. I went down to the floor of the United States Senate late yesterday with a speech I'd worked on for a long time in order to debate whether or not Jeff Sessions should be the next Attorney General of the United States. And as part of my speech, what I wanted to do was read a letter from Coretta Scott King, who discussed what Jeff Sessions had done back in Alabama when he was the U.S. Attorney for Alabama. In her letter, she walks through his prosecution of civil rights workers. Mm-hmm. He prosecuted them when they were trying to help elderly African Americans vote. And this letter is powerful, it's deeply moving, and an important historical document. And back in 1986, it helped move a Republican-controlled Senate Judiciary Committee to reject his appointment as a federal judge.
But that very same letter, Senator Warren, as you know, Republican senators last night felt was impugning Jeff Sessions, and that's the problem they had with it.
Well, you know, evidently what they seem to think impugning means is just talking about the facts and what happened, what Jeff Sessions' actions have said. You know, if I can, I'll just read the little bit that I read that I got in trouble for. Coretta Scott King describes what had happened, and she said, "Mr. Sessions has used the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens." And that's when they shut me down.
Senator Warren, as you know, today, several male senators, Democrats, were allowed to enter the letter into the record and read parts of it, and they were not interrupted. Rule 19 was not levied on them. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't know what to make of it, except to say I hope everyone reads Coretta Scott King's letter. It really is something to read and a reminder, a very tangible reminder of what was going on in America not so very long ago and the kinds of risks that people face today and that they need to be able to count on an attorney general who will be on their side. You know, one of the points that Coretta Scott King made in her letter is that Jeff Sessions managed with his federal prosecution to do what the local sheriffs accomplished 20 years ago with clubs and cattle prods. She talks in her letter. She says, many elderly blacks were visited multiple times by the FBI, who then hauled them over 180 miles by bus to a grand jury in Mobile, yeah, when they more easily could have testified at a grand jury 20 miles away, yeah, in Selma. She talks about the intimidation of these people, and this is all under the direction of Jeff Sessions, a man who today is just a few hours away from coming to a vote to be Attorney General of the United States.
Senator Warren, I'm curious. I mean, I can hear your passion about what you believe is what's written in this letter. But ironically, before last night, very few people knew it existed. I mean, do you think Senator Mitch McConnell has actually done you a favor? Because now this letter is absolutely everywhere, and you say you want people to read it. Thousands, if not millions, of people are.
Well, I hope that millions of people read it because, look, Megan, I get this. Democrats don't have the votes to be able to stop Jeff Sessions. We didn't have the votes to stop Betsy DeVos for Secretary of Education. We just don't have the set of tools we need right now in the United States Senate. One of the things we have to count on is just basic democracy. Is enough people across this country making their voices heard. That's the only thing that's going to help us get some accountability back into this government, get this government working again, not for the rich and powerful, not for people like Jeff Sessions, getting it working again for the American people.
I have two more quick questions for you, Senator.
Sure.
Do you, Rule 19 is almost never invoked.
I've never heard of it.
It's been in effect since the early 1900s, and it's only been invoked a tiny handful of times.
Yeah.
The fact that it happened to you last night, do you think, has the political tenor in Washington, in the Senate in particular, become so rancorous that do you think it was Mitch McConnell was making it personal last night?
You know, for me, this is less about political rancor and more about power. This was Mitch McConnell working with Donald Trump to jam a set of nominees down the throats of the United States Senate and the people of the United States of America, to just jam them down our throats. You know, to say we don't have to get nominees who are kind of in the mainstream. We can go with the Secretary of Education who doesn't believe in public education. We can go with an Attorney General who has made it clear that he thinks his job is to prosecute people who are trying to help elderly black citizens.
But Senator Warren, if I may, as you well know, it's the president's right to nominate whomever he wants, and it's the Senate's duty, as it's doing, to debate those nominees. I mean, the process is happening.
That's what I was trying to do. You know, Mitch McConnell didn't stand up and say Coretta Scott King got the facts wrong. He didn't stand up and say, oh, her conclusion was wrong. No, he stood up and said, those facts and those conclusions are so terrible that even to whisper them on the floor of the United States Senate impugns Jeff Sessions. Think about that.
Senator Warren, I have one last question for you. You are well known to bring your heat and passion to anything that you put your mind to. You famously said a while ago that you would be willing to leave blood and teeth on the floor in your fight for financial reform. But I'm wondering if we're reaching a point now where that much passion could backfire, because here's why I ask. Senator Orrin Hatch spoke after you did last night, and he said that he's, quote, tired of your constant diatribe. And then he went on to say, I listened to her for quite a while, and she didn't have a good thing to say about a fellow senator here, and I frankly don't think that's right. If we don't respect each other, we're going down a very steep path to oblivion. Doesn't Senator Hatch have a point? I mean, look at how Americans can barely talk to each other.
You know, I think the right question is, what do you think respect means? Do you think respect means covering up the facts? Do you think respect means everyone just lines up and smiles and says, because he's a senator, we won't talk about his record? Because he's a senator, we won't talk about his voting against the Violence Against Women Act or against equal pay for equal work, things that might be relevant to whether or not he should be an attorney general. Because he's a senator, we should not talk about the fact that we may have an out-of-control president, and it may be the attorney general of the United States that we Americans have to rely on to tell the president of the United States, no, you cannot enforce an unconstitutional or illegal order. And Jeff Sessions is not that person. Now, I think that what is respectful is to treat things seriously. I look at Jeff Sessions' record, and I say that is the record of a man who cannot be entrusted as Attorney General of the United States. It is not a personal statement. I didn't hurl any ugly names. I didn't throw any invectives his way. I simply stated what I believe to be the facts, and I quoted Coretta Scott King, who saw firsthand what it meant to have Jeff Sessions in a position of power and what it meant for African Americans who were trying to vote. I think those are relevant issues, and as long as it is said as politely as I could, but with force and passion, that's what democracy is supposed to be about. That's what the Constitution is supposed to be about. That's what it's supposed to mean to be in the United States Senate. That's why the people of Massachusetts sent me there, and that's the job I'm going to do.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn now to Matt Visor. He's Deputy Washington Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe, speaking to us from Washington. Matt, good to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so you heard Senator Warren there and all her fire and passion, but give us a reality check here. I mean, is this a major moment in the Senate or a tempest in a teapot?
It is a major moment. I mean, and for some who've been looking at the Senate for a long time, it's sort of a low moment, you know, in discourse, in the animosity that is inside that chamber. You know, they often call it the world's greatest deliberative body. There was certainly no deliberation last night. You know, Senator Warren was not allowed to bring up some points on the Senate floor. There's a lot of partisanship. So I think it's a moment marking for that. It's symbolic. It won't change the outcome. You know, Jeff Sessions will likely be confirmed tonight as Attorney General. So this does not change much, but it indicates sort of how much animosity there is inside that chamber that has long been sort of a clubby place, you know, for senators.
Right. It's supposed to be the chamber of Congress that. That sticks to its rules of decorum, but Matt, let me ask you. I mean, so you mentioned rightly that this vote's going to happen this evening, and it doesn't seem as if anything that's happened in the past 24 hours will derail Jeff Sessions' confirmation at this point in time. But is there a larger sense amongst the GOP that perhaps it was ill-advised for them to issue Rule 19 against Senator Warren yesterday because all of a sudden they've handed her this giant megaphone?
Yeah, and she has certainly used it and used it well. The irony in this is she was speaking last night at about 8 o'clock on a weeknight. Viewership on C-SPAN 2 is not that high, you know, at that hour. And had Mitch McConnell not protested her comments, her reading of this letter, it would not have gotten nearly the attention that it has. Senator Warren went to Facebook Live after she was reprimanded and read from just outside the chamber of the Senate, and that's been viewed more than 8 million times. She was trending on Twitter. There's a lot of attention today to her, to this letter. It's getting a whole lot more attention than it would have otherwise gotten. There's a lot of fundraising being done, on both sides, really, off of this moment. I think in that sense, attacking Warren and attacking her for reading a letter from a civil rights icon such as Coretta Scott King, I think may have been ill-advised for Republicans to try and pick this battle the way that they have.
Mm. And so, I mean, do you see this having any longer-term impact then? Does this further empower Warren, or is it sort of teaching the GOP maybe the best thing to do is to not draw any attention to anything she says?
Well, I think that's sort of to be determined a little bit. I think that this episode has shown just how big of a megaphone that Elizabeth Warren has, and her ability, sort of unique ability that she's had for a while to kind of capitalize on moments like this. Ever since she rose to the Senate, she's been very attuned to social media, to raising money across the country, and to sort of capturing the attention in a sort of unique way. And I think this is once again proving that. Republicans, though, think that they benefit as well, from casting Elizabeth Warren as out of touch, as a liberal from Massachusetts. You'll notice from last night some of the early moments where Warren was reprimanded was because she was quoting Ted Kennedy,
right?
Another person that Republicans sort of had loved to cast aside as a liberal from Massachusetts, And so I think that there's an element where Republicans think that they can benefit by having Elizabeth Warren as sort of a boogeywoman, I guess, in the Senate. So I think that both sides will sort of maybe try and learn from this and going forward. But, there's certainly no love at this point between Elizabeth Warren and the Trump administration, Mitch McConnell. There's certainly issues that she probably cares about and would like to work on. But I think that's, the atmosphere inside the Senate is very sour at this point.
Sour, to say the least. Well, Matt Visor is Deputy Washington Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. Matt, it's always great to have you. Thank you so very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.